News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Welcome back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now, 3:35 p.m. Hey, before I go any further, I got to tell you about ZLA Solutions. So the folks at ZLA, I know these folks personally, just like I know the ones at 1819. Yeah, I have no trouble advocating for them. ZLA Solutions is good at what they do. I mean, their goal is to make your business better. That's even their motto. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. I mean, they live to make your business better. I mean, they can help you with your quality control, your sorting and containment, your logistics issues, but their bread and butter that I always say is staffing. If you're looking to build out your workforce, you need more people, which a lot of businesses do right now. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And I always say blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. They can find the people you need. They can put together your workforce and have them in place for you lickety split. So yeah, they just had their biggest year ever doing just that. Individually speaking, I will tell you, if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted all over North Alabama. I mean, they are kicking it. So they are putting people back to work like nobody else. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. You check them out and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, I am in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it a walk around Alabama politics. There's a number of things going on right now. We covered a little bit of this with Brian during his time with us, Brian Dawson. And it's amazing, like I said earlier, how much money is flowing in. Let me give you an idea, by the way. That story that he and I were talking about, written by Sean Patrick Taylor, who does some amazing deep dive kind of work. Sean Patrick Taylor wrote this piece for 1819 that literally was dated just yesterday, and it says that in terms of total receipts, Mike Durant leads fundraising at $7.26 million, with disbursements already, in other words, payments out, of 3.164, leaving him 4.096 million on hand. That's a lot of money, folks. All right, so that's what he's got to carry him through now. I guarantee you, he makes it through the primary and the runoff, the money's going to be pouring in. Katie Britt was second. She had receipts of 6.4 million, disbursements of 3.15 and 3.2 on hand. Mo Brooks, receipts totaling 2.7 million with 2.2 in disbursements. He still has 1.5 on hand right now. In other words, he started with some. Those were new receipts, but he already had a war chest slightly built up. So there's that. Now what's really interesting is seeing how some of that's been spent. I mean, you guys have seen all of the attack ads, right? And Brian was right. I said it on the show before also, is that when you watch these ads, in terms of trying to figure out why and who and what, if they end with a candidate saying, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message, that's their campaign putting out their own ad. And of course, they're always positive. If it ends with paid for by XYZ PAC or paid for by, you know, New Communists for America PAC or whatever, then you know it was done on behalf of the candidate potentially, but by somebody else. Listen to this. So far, according to a website called opensecrets.org, Brooks has had over 3.8 million in outside funds. That's not campaign funds. That's other organizations outside of the campaigns spent against him. In other words, all the attack ads against Brooks, 3.8 million. If you're wondering why his polling may have dropped, it's because he has been bombarded with a constant string of negative ads. 3.8 million. That's more than twice the amount spent against Katie Britt. 1.9 million against her. And that's nearly five times as much as has been spent against Durant so far. 823,000 spent against Durant. Right now, the polls indicate that Mike Durant is in the lead. And so the race is on for number two. They'll try and take Durant down a notch or three. But nonetheless, what they're also trying to do is gain ground against each other and get past May 24th and be in a runoff. This race is going to a runoff. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, one of those three is going to be your next U.S. Senator. It's going to be Mike Durant, Katie Britt, or Mo Brooks. Get to know them. Know what you want to do. And also be aware that when these ads are being, you know, touted, and don't think that, I mean, let me back up. Let me do this. Who is out there supporting Britt? There's one group called Alabama Future. It's the largest super PAC involved in the race. This may be the one that Richard Shelby dumped tons of money into on her behalf. But yeah, Alabama's Future is supporting Britt and spent a huge amount of money against Brooks. The second largest super PAC in the race is one called Alabama Patriots. They have largely spent money in support of Durant. And then Brooks has been largely supported by Club for Growth, which is a major PAC out of D.C., very conservative group, and they spent $1.7 million on Brooks and $1.9 million opposing Britt. So that's a lot of spending, not necessarily out of his pocket per se, but it's money being spent on his behalf. Other things that are happening, though, right now, I mentioned that the fundraising in the Congressional District 5. I mean, so you got Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong duking it out. John Roberts is still in the race. Former state senator, my friend Paul Sanford, is definitely in the race. But there's a whole lot of money being spent in the U.S. Senate race that is totally, totally different when you look at it in compared to what's being spent in the congressional races. And, of course, Congress, they have a lot less territory to cover, right? Statewide U.S. Senate races. Plus, you know, when you consider there's only 100 senators, that means that they have far more influence. So people want them in place. Congress, you're at, what, 437? Is that right? I can't recall. But right now, Dale Strong has a sizable lead in the fundraising. Dale Strong has raised $846,000. He has spent $577,000. He has cash on hand of $269,000. There's Dale Strong. Casey Wardinsky has raised $515,000, spent $324,000, and reports $191,000 still on hand. And then the next closest one is John Roberts. He's raised $165,000, spent $108,000, and has $57,000 on hand. And then Paul Sanford is under $100,000 right now. He's raised $50,000 and some cash and some change and spent $35,000, has $14,000 on hand. Oh, and then Andy Blaylock. I'm sorry, I forgot about Andy Blaylock. He's raised $42,000 and has spent $39,000. So that's interesting. Now the issues, though, not just the money, but the issues and how do people feel about things. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. So right now the race has been heating up. You can almost bet that it was going to happen. If you noticed, Casey Wardinsky has quite a resume, a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, a long career in the military, but he was also the superintendent of the Huntsville City Schools. And I have not been hearing much at all about his tenure as a superintendent of the city schools. And you got to know it's coming. For whatever reason, it's not been picked on until recently. Story off of Yellowhammer News. That Paul Sanford, who is one of the, you know, the guys running against him in the primary, Paul Sanford takes issue with things that occurred during Wardinsky's period as the superintendent of Huntsville City Schools. In particular, he says that Casey Wardinsky in some way favored Common Core curriculum and implemented Common Core curriculum as a superintendent. Of course, Yellowhammer News asked for a comment regarding the issue. Sanford expanded on it, said he's been a vocal advocate and defender of children's parents' rights and all that. He said, severely disappointed his opponent continues to, in his words, lie to the voters of District of 5 about a failed record. He says, and he was a state senator, and by the way, I was there for this, he did fight against liberal education policies about Common Core for almost 8 years, and he believes that that Wardinsky did not. He believes that Wardinsky actually implemented it. So the campaign rhetoric is heating up, and a part of that campaign that I knew was coming, we just hadn't seen it yet, was that other piece of Casey Wardinsky's resume. I do believe right now the polls indicate that Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong are likely to go to a runoff. Too many candidates in that race not to have a runoff when they're strong candidates. Paul Sanford's a strong candidate, well known in the area. Andy Blaylock's making a name for himself. John Roberts is out there doing what he can do too. Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong are both the front runners right now. But between the two of them and the others, they're sharing a lot of space on the ballot. So, I would bet you're going to wind up seeing a runoff there too. Speaking of runoffs though, We're going to take a break right now. When we get back from that, we're going to talk about straw polls and internal polls. What do those mean? Kelsey, go ahead and move us to a break, man. We'll do this. I'm going to come back and clean up a little bit more on what is a straw poll and what does an internal poll mean in light of real polling. Well, I got a story on a Governor Ivey internal poll, which I don't buy for a second, and a straw poll, which I really don't buy either. I'll tell you why. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So I got a couple of articles here, one from Yellowhammer, one from AL Daily, actually three articles. AL Daily News, Yellowhammer News, 1819 News, and they talk about things like straw polls and internal polls. What does that mean? Okay, here's the deal. Straw polls, if you've got a group that is getting together, and that group in mass decides to pick among themselves who they support, that's called a straw poll. That's basically like, say, for instance, the college Republicans got together and they had a big meeting. And while they were there, they took a straw poll. That's where they decide amongst themselves. It can kind of look like an endorsement in a sense. It is, but it ain't. Straw polls can be tricky. All right. So a few years back, gosh, what year would this be? I guess this is 20. I've forgotten which year it was now. I guess it was, anyway, Rick Perry was running for president. Was that the year that Trump got in? I can't recall now. But anyway, the bottom line was Rick Perry was running for president, 2012, I believe it was. And I was asked by the campaign if I would please go speak on his behalf at the West Alabama Straw Poll. So, West Alabama Straw Poll, we traveled over that way towards Tuscaloosa. Charlene and I think one of our kids went with us and got there, and I was asked to speak on behalf of the candidate. I was a surrogate speaker, and pretty much all the candidates, you know, had a surrogate speaker. The thing that was interesting to me was the Ron Paul campaign, not Rand Paul, but his dad, Ron Paul, who had a cult following. It was almost kind of weird watching Ron Paul's, and some of y'all may be Ron Paul supporters, but Ron Paul supporters were always like it was like the cult of personality. It was like deep. Ron Paul campaign bust in. Their thing was to win every straw poll they could. They literally bust people in. Like two busloads of people got off wearing Ron Paul shirts and Ron Paul hats and Ron Paul buttons and waving Ron Paul flags. And their speaker got up there. And it's a guy that I know and like, John Killian. He's a retired Baptist pastor, very active in state politics, actually a distant cousin of mine. And John Killian gets out to speak for Ron Paul, and it was woohoo! And it was, you know, everything was going on, and they're waving their flags, and guess who won the straw poll? Of course he did, Ron Paul. But he bussed in two busloads of people. We had a room with about 150 in it, and I guarantee you 60 or 70 of them came on those buses. So, yeah, straw polls can be misleading. Now, we got a story on 1819. Eagle Forum, friends of mine at Eagle Forum, I was with Becky Gerritsen this morning at a meeting. But Becky Gerritsen, the local Alabama chapter of Eagle Forum, they held a River Region candidate fair, and they held a straw poll. Okay, interesting. And I don't know that any kind of thing like what I talked about with Ron Paul's folks happened at this at all. I'm not saying that. But Eagle Forum is a very conservative organization, much like the Alabama Policy Institute is. It's an organization that if you're there for an Eagle Forum event, you're likely to be very conservative, like far right conservative, and I respect that. They picked Tim James 35%, Lindy Blanchard next at 27%, Kay Ivey third, and then it went Dean Odle, Lou Burdett, Dean Young, Donald Jones for governor. Then they went to the U.S. Senate race. In that straw poll, Mo Brooks 51%, Katie Britt 25%, Mike Durant 13%. Didn't know there were two other people named Carla DuPriest and Jake Schaefer, but they had Carla DuPriest at 10%. I don't even know who that is. So what I'm saying is, straw poll did happen. That's what a straw poll is. It's when a group gets together and polls its own people and then announces the result. Not a true endorsement, just a reflection of what happened that day. All right, then there's a lot of talk about what we call internal polls. If you hear somebody touting an internal poll, like the one I've got here from Yellowhammer, Yellowhammer News, according to a poll commissioned by the re-election campaign of Governor Kay Ivey, Governor Kay Ivey now has 60%. Well, I'm throwing down the BS card. Technically, it was 57%, although the write-up by Yellowhammer says it was nearly 60. Okay, it was nearly 60, I guess. They show in their internal poll, Kay Ivey, 57, Lindy Blanchard, 14, Tim James, 12, other and undecided at 17. First of all, an internal poll means the campaign ran it themselves, obviously. It also means you can expect that there was something about that poll that they wanted done a certain way because they expected the results to come back in a means by which they could announce and try to scare off the other campaigns. Something to scare the voters. Something to try and sway momentum. Okay, hey, Kay Ivey, she's got 57%. Woohoo! No, she doesn't. I mean, if you look at the poll right now, it would appear they didn't even bother to poll the names of Lou Burdette and Dean Odell. And by the way, Lou Burdette right now is the only one who continues to climb in the polls. That's interesting. So the only one who continues to climb in the polls is Lou Burdette. He's at 8 or 9%, probably pushing 10. And the reality is they didn't even poll his name. Why would they do that? Because people would go, oh, yeah, oh, I saw that. Oh, I saw that Lou Burdette guy. I heard his story. I like him. They didn't want to remind people about other candidates. And so Lindy Blanchard, Tim James are the only two other names that were apparently polled in this. Everybody else was lumped into the other undecided. Now, let me point something out. If you're the incumbent and you drew 8 primary opponents and polls indicate that 17 to 22% of the population is currently undecided, that means you have a job approval rating that is probably not great. And that's where KIV is right now. So all I'm saying is when you see a story that says internal poll by the Ivy campaign or internal poll by the Tim James campaign or internal poll by the, you know, Katie Britt campaign, just saying, be aware, internal poll probably doesn't mean near as much as when you find something like an independent poll conducted by, and they'll name the organizations like, you know, Fox News in conjunction with the University of Alabama, or an ABC 3340 poll conducted with UAB, and they hire an outside polling organization like McLaughlin or Signal or somebody like that. That's when you see real polling. And truthfully, I'll be honest with you. Polling, I take it with a grain of salt. If you remember, polling said that we would have Hillary Clinton for a president for the last, you know, 4 years prior to Joe Biden. Yeah, and I got news. I've also said many times, if polling was always to be believed, I would have never served in the Alabama State Senate for 8 years. Because the teachers union kept commissioning polls and showing my candidate just whooping me. And I beat him by, you know, 5-6 points both times. All right, folks, coming up next, we got Congressman Mo Brooks calling in. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. He just recently decided that it would be a great idea to abolish the Department of Education. I want to hear the man talk about that because I tend to agree. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. You hang on. We'll be right back.